Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Friday to you, baby! Memorial Day weekend's arrived. You're waking up. Maybe you got a day off. Maybe you're going to cut the lawn. Maybe you're going into work. Maybe it's a half day. Maybe it's a full day. Either way, always a good time to check in. Summer is here. Remember why we get more, have Memorial Day weekend. All of those who fought, served, lost their lives, never came home. We appreciate all of you and our armed services here on Memorial Day weekend. But it is a kickoff to summer. Typically, we might be at Bob's Bar. Today would have been a beautiful day for Bob's Bar. But we are not. Why are we? Because we're going to be there on June 16th, our delayed kickoff to summer. And now you guys have been let in on a secret yesterday as to why we're waiting all the way till mid-June for Bob's Bar. Because this was due week for DA and Pete the Body, who will both remain out. Hockey, they might call it a lower body injury. Here in the DA, she'll be called a baby. They have both had babies. Well, their wives did. But yeah, they are now fathers. Pete, again, for the second time. DA for the first time. So, it's a target demo Friday. You want to send your well wishes, you could do so there. Also at Mraz, CBS at Andrew Bogish, where that baby meme has been released. Let us know how you're listening, what you're where you're listening, and what you got planned for the weekend. Before we get to superstitions in sports, I've been told Backwards Brian is on hold, Bogey, and would like to talk to us. BB, BWB, what's up, man?
So, just wanted to get your opinion on the Yankees Orioles.
I would like to have, I would like you to ask me the opinion, but it's Backwards Brian, I love you. It sounds like you're almost, I don't know, with a sleep apnea mask on right now.
Oh, let me get into a different room. It's a little windy.
Oh, check so, 1, 2. Okay.
Since I know that you were at the game, what would your professional opinion, not biased, on how my Orioles are doing this season?
Oh. Yeah, I'm getting rid of them.
All right, no, that's fine. I heard what he's saying. How the Orioles are doing this season. Well, I did a sports minute including the Orioles, I think. Bottom line is this. The Orioles are for real. Adley Rutschman is a stud. Cedric Mullins is a stud. And I am of the belief that the Orioles, for being as bad as they were, have finally accumulated real young talent. And I, look, it's a stretch to say this because it feels like craziness. But the Orioles have a lot of the beginning of the Astros in them without the cheating. As far as bad for so long, the young talent is legit. I think the Orioles are a legitimate playoff team and are going to be a legit pain in the ass for baseball teams looking to compete in the American League for the next 10 years. They're a real team, Bogues.
They are shockingly good. And I think even ahead of their schedule, and I can't think of the guy's, I don't know how to say the guy's name, but they have a reliever.
Yennier Cano?
Yeah, Cano. That's not Bautista from last year.
Yeah.
And at one point, he had retired like 57 of 62 batters he had faced. I mean, just like ridiculous numbers. And I mean, that's the best division in baseball, is it not? I mean, there's not even a question about it. In fact,
all five teams can be playoff. Well, they literally can't, but yes.
Right.
They're all...
And when the Yankees were in last place and they were still like four games over 500, I was looking around and they would have been in second place in every other division in baseball, but they were last in the AL East.
There was a time 3 weeks ago where eight teams in baseball had a winning percentage of 550 and higher. Five of them were in the American League East.
Yeah.
All five teams. So it's that good. And I will tell you, going to the game the other night, first of all, I noticed a couple things. By this point in my life, I've lost track. There's a good chance I've seen almost every Major League Baseball team, whether it's at a Yankee game, a Met game, or on the road. Like, I got to kind of have a decent feel of remembering fan bases. I've been to Camden Yards a ton. I've probably been to countless Yankee-Oriole games because they played each other for so long, whether it's up here in New York or down in Baltimore. Especially up here in New York, folks, I can't remember a time where I saw that many loud and proud Orioles fans walking around Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Like, they feel it right now. Baltimore is in on their baseball team. First of all, Camden Yards still, I think, remains like the best place to watch baseball. Again, I've never been to PNC, but it's just awesome. And they have bought into Adley Rutschman. I mean, he's their Mike Trout. He's their Aaron Judge. Those jerseys, what is he, number 35, walking around. The Orioles have a guy that they are obsessed with, and Mullins is a perfect number complement to it. It's when Baltimore baseball is good, it's really good. It's fun. And it's weird because they played in the Yankees division their whole lives. The Yankees have had playoff series with them.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking from a Yankee fan perspective. I've never really considered the Orioles a rival from the standpoint of I don't hate their fans. Like, I actually really enjoy people from Baltimore. Maybe it's because I love that city so much. Like, I can't stand Red Sox fans. I can't stand any fan from Philly. But when it comes to and Tampa fans, they kind of annoy me. I don't dislike the Baltimore fans. I have fun when the Yankees play the Orioles. I had fun the other night. I think people in Baltimore are awesome. So I'm all in on the Orioles being good.
You were also, if I'm doing the math correctly, you were also pretty young at the peak of Orioles-Yankees rivalry, right? I mean, like,
yeah, I mean, I'm 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old. But, so, I mean, look, I mean, obviously I remember Cal Ripken, and that used to be, like, for me, that was a big summer trip, was go down to Camden Yards for a game or two at 10, 11, 12 years old. So I really loved baseball. And I think in a weird way, the Orioles might have been, like, my second team, even though they were in the Yankee division, because of how frequently I went to Orioles games.
Yeah, and you throw in the ballpark, great uniforms, great logo, the history. Yeah. I think we just had the anniversary of the Yankee-Oriole, like, Benitez brawl.
The fight.
That happened, I think, in May, whenever that happened.
98.
And the impressive thing for me about where they are now is these are all their guys. They didn't go out and in any way quick fix this. They didn't make one big trade, make one big signing. This is all basically from within. And now it took a long time to get here, too long. And it's really, really sucked at times. But they've done this from the inside out. And as you said, like, there's no reason to think that they're going away anytime soon. Because there are still guys who are just now in the majors or not there yet. They're only going to make them better.
Yeah, and remember, right now we're sitting in a spot where the Diamondbacks are pretty good.
Yeah.
The Tigers are hanging around their division. The Pirates as well. The Orioles were good and hung around most of last year.
Remember,
that was a big deal when they had to trade Trey Mancini at the end there. I think the Orioles are going to make the playoffs. So they're a good team. I think they're going to be around. And look, they have good, young, marketable stars. And we've seen, like, Brian Reynolds stick around with the Pirates. We've seen some of the Diamondbacks sign their young prospect. Teams are kicking around guys. Baltimore is not that small a market here either. Ownership, I think, will spend. They will keep their guys. And if they prove for a couple of years they can be competitive, I think they would be in on free agents. And by the way, not a bad place to live over the summer.
Yeah, the spending part is the next question. And I don't know what the answer to that is because, don't forget, too, we've got the two Angelos brothers, like, fighting with each other, and then the one that has the power has to keep talking about how he's not going to leave Baltimore because...
Yeah, no, I get that, but...
So, you know, they might be able to finagle one or two of these, like, really early long-term deals for these young guys, but at some point, they have to really spend, and I don't know that they're going to do that just yet. But that's a good problem to have,
so to speak. It's a good problem to have, but I really believe that that's an ownership group that was looking to hit. I think if they see winning, the ballpark gets filled again. It's sad when you see an empty Camden Yards. And I would say, Bogues, I mean, they must be selling these Rutschman jerseys like hotcakes, and not like they're taking Mike Mussina jerseys and putting a duct tape over like Schwartz would. Like, legitimately, I'm like, wow, Orioles gear is cool again. So
yeah, they got a lot of good names on that team too. Mountcastle, Santander, yeah. Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson. It's a good name team too.
I would also say this: if the Orioles are going to spend on a better phone line for Backwards Brian as well. How about that?
That's fair.
Because that connection stunk. But we love you, Backwards Brian. All right, now, how about superstitions in sports? Remember when I said that I didn't jinx the Rangers with breaking out the brooms? Do you remember that, folks?
I mean, you said it, but you also did jinx them.
Okay. I thought this was unusual yesterday because, obviously, by the time I got home from the game, I missed the Panthers-Hurricanes game when they clinch. And we saw the picture of them absolutely just holding that, what do we call it, the Prince of Wales trophy still?
Yes.
Eastern Conference trophy?
Yep.
The old saying in hockey was when you just take a picture around that trophy when you win your conference, you don't touch it because the real thing is happening. And we've seen sporadically over the years teams start to touch the trophy. The Panthers went all in basically hugging the thing, carrying it off the ice. And Matthew Tkachuk, how much trophy could a Tkachuk chuck if a Tkachuk could chuck trophies, said that the Panthers were not going to be superstitious when they touched the Prince of Wales trophy. And he said the last thing we're going to do is be superstitious about not touching it. I now am officially, with all due respect to whoever wins this Stars Vegas series and Canadian Bacon, we hope, comes up your way in 10 minutes if Caserta gets his act together. I am rooting for the Panthers now because I am so done with superstitions in sports. The moment the curse of the Bambino ended and the Red Sox won in 04 and what was a very unfair series that they came back 3-0 down in that spot,
so overrated.
Tony Clark hits a ground rule double. If it's not a ground rule double, a run scores, they never win a series. The moment that ended, I realized superstitions aren't real. If a team is in a drought, it's just because their organization has sucked for a long time. You can't jinx a team. I used to be a jinx guy. I mock jinx guys now. And I'm happy Matthew Tkachuk's doing this. So bogus. Are superstitions dead in sports? Are the Panthers going to prove that?
Well, just some housekeeping. Are you still jinxing Aaron Rodgers? Is that still in play? Jinx guy? Anti-jinx guy?
I think that's different.
How is that different?
Because there's like random jinxes of, I wear baby powder under my left testicle for every game, home game on a Wednesday, and they always win that.
Which you do.
And then there's actual ability to cast a spell by a person. Like, not like because you did an action, because you spoke it into existence.
A witch?
Yes.
Okay, or a warlock, I guess.
Do you believe the psychics that talk to dead people? Do you believe in that?
I don't.
You don't believe in that?
No.
So John Edwards, when he was making his rounds, you think he was a phony?
I think there's a way to do it that it sounds like you know what you're talking about. Yes. I don't think you really talked to my grandmother.
I think those people exist. I believe in poltergeists. I believe in ghosts. I believe in that. I believe in karma to a certain extent. And I believe that that's what we're talking about. I think there's a difference in jinx and karma. The Rogers thing and being a jerk to me and me speaking it into the galaxy that he'll never... First of all, as I'm saying this and talking in circles, I realized that even my own jinx wasn't real because I said originally he would never win a playoff game again, and he did. And then I just moved the goalpost and switched it till he never won a Super Bowl. So
you moved the goalpost on something you said? That doesn't happen either.
Yeah. So actually, I'm talking in circles here trying to eat karma. He'll never win a Super Bowl, but that's not what I said. So yeah, he already did prove that jinxes aren't real. Jinxes aren't real, bottom line. And because Stone Cold said so.
And you're not doing this because you, in your heart of hearts, you know that you screwed your Rangers out of a playoff run by accidentally at the wrong time brooming off your bar after they won game 2 in New Jersey.
I never did that. I never did that at all. Mm. So
okay.
I mean, I cleaned the bar. By the way, the bar needs a good cleaning this weekend.
Yeah, and your face did this week too, apparently. So I'm glad that your daughter took care of that for you.
She did.
Yeah.
She did.
Now, I wish that I didn't have your Ranger curse like right in my face still, because I also don't think jinxes are real. I don't think that you win or lose the Stanley Cup by not touching the Prince of Wales trophy. I do think it's sweet that hockey players didn't do it, and some of them won't even touch the Stanley Cup until they win it. That's the only time they'll touch it if they're at an event.
I touched the cup last year.
Yeah, because at this point, I think your hockey stardom is not going to become a reality, unfortunately. Shame on Bob and Nancy for that.
Probably fair.
Again, Bob can do whatever he wants to Randy Levine, but the fact that he kept us from another Wayne Gretzky, that's the thing that he needs to answer to Jack Stern for.
Well, could have been a lottery pick.
But you're right in general that jinxes are not a thing. So good for the Panthers. And if they don't win the Stanley Cup, it's just going to be for another reason, not because of that.
By the way, you beat me today.
I beat you?
First eat breakfast. You're eating yogurt.
No, I'm not eating yogurt today. I'm eating, I guess, a little oatmeal or something.
Oatmeal. You beat me. So that brings me to my next question. What are you eating this weekend? We want that in your target demo Friday. At Mraz, CBS, at Andrew Bogus. Memorial Day weekend, a big weekend. Is it meats? Is it seafood? Is it hot dogs? Is it burgers? Let fat asses across America know what you're stuffing down your fat face this weekend, because Memorial Day weekend's here. And Bogus's first thing he's eating Memorial Day weekend is oatmeal.
Yeah. And
oatmeal off the board.
You know, I hadn't even thought about seafood, but you keep mentioning it, and now I need something.
Maybe some shrimp, maybe some crab, a little lobster.
Yeah, like, does even shrimp scallops. Cocktail count in this equation?
Sure, it came from the sea.
It did, right?
Sushi counts.
No, see, that I would disagree with. Not in this instance. That's not a Memorial Day thing. You're going to grill some shrimp, great. Catch something and grill it, 100% sure. My shrimp cocktail accepted. I don't know that sushi fits. Filet of fish wouldn't work either in this scenario.
No, I don't think McDonald's counts. Although it's funny, chain fast food probably doesn't count for like Memorial Day weekend food, but we all have, right, like some kind of localized classic burger shake place that's like a summertime staple. Like, they're all over the country. And that would count, I would think, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Old school burger stand?
That's not, with all due respect to McDonald's and Wendy's, it's not the same thing. That counts.
But it
that's
is fast food. It's coming right off. You're ordering a
counter. Yeah, but it's not a franchise. If it's a non-franchise, it's good enough for me in this conversation.
Best flavor milkshake in the summer?
I like vanilla milkshakes.
I agree. Classic vanilla.
Strawberry.
Yeah.
I don't know about strawberry. I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. I think strawberry is one of those things people bought into it for a while. I think it comes and goes. It's got to be a mood thing.
What do you
it's
mean people bought into it? You either like the taste of it or you don't. You know,
no, because strawberry has tried so hard to be a third wheel to vanilla and chocolate. And then in the end, you just come back to and you don't respect it as one of the big two, and it's always going to be a third wheeler. And then it gets hot. It has its moments. Wendy's is pumping their strawberry frosting.
Yeah.
Right now. And then it goes away for a little bit, and you're like, yeah, I'm not really in the mood for strawberry. It does. It lacks consistency. It's a Francisco Lindor of flavors.
Easy.
All right. It's not usually a milkshake flavor, but the best flavor of ice cream is the creamsicle twist.
No.
Oh, soft serve, you mean?
Oh, yeah. The soft serve, creamsicle twist, Coors, Jersey Shore, how you done?
But I don't consider creamsicle an ice cream, truly. It's like more pop version.
Yeah, I'd rather have the pop, the actual creamsicle.
I'll give you a pop.
Than the soft serve.
Yeah. I still think cookies and cream is a classic now. I mean, I
agreed.
Think that went from, you know, that went from like a really cool radical thing. Now it's a classic.
You know, you mentioned you were complaining about Yankee Stadium ice cream choices yesterday, and I forgot to mention the ridiculous concoction that I had last weekend at Citi Field. It's new this year. Where you walk into this little counter and they've got racks of donuts and milkshakes, and they drop the donut on top of the cup. So you're drinking the straw through the donut, milkshake, take a bite of the donut, go back. It's a lot, but it was
diabetes
delicious.
Diabetes with a straw.
Exactly. You get your insulin on the way out.
Do you dunk the donut in the milkshake?
Shawnee, you can do whatever you want.
Does the milkshake bring all the boys to the yard?
It brought this boy to that yard, yeah.
Interesting. I think that's too much. Sometimes Khalees is more. All right, when we come back.
Oh, no. No. No.
What?
I can't accept that.
Well, we'll find out in Canadian Bacon if Greg Caserta's puns are damn right they're better than yours.
No, that one was all right. Damn it.
Canadian Bacon is next. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
God, we're having a good time. Having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know. It's only game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
All right, a big game number four with the Brooms be back out. The crowd is rocking. Don't come a-knocking. It's an hour late, and Greg Caserta is here to insert a Canadian bacon. Away we go.
It's and not funny.
That was really good.
That wasn't bad. Most importantly, though, the lanyard is off. I repeat, the lanyard is off. It took one stern conversation from his two uncles, and the lanyard
yes.
is off.
Let's grease up those pipes. It's bacon time, baby. So nice to have Tom Doyle across the glass, the king of this fun little segment that we do here, representing all the hard hat guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
Clock out early today. Start your Memorial Day weekend early, and let's get to it. Dallas, Texas, a town in the Old West known for who shot JR and Jerry Jones' wooden teeth. Backs against the wall, full hearts, can't lose. Thursday night lights for the Stars in a can't-lose game four. The Golden Knights were in town looking to pillage the village. A chance to fly home for the Stanley Cup final. Las Vegas, known for broken dreams, $8 prime rib, and Wayne Newton. Danke schön, darling, danke schön. That means thank you very much in German. And since I did my German voice and my five winker, I'll spare you that today. But the Golden Knights weren't sparing anyone. Mraz loves a good spare rib, and William Karlsson opened the scoring for the visitors less than 5 minutes in, but the Stars said, nah, son, this is our house. Ken Hitchcock's mustache may be retired, but the stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas, Jason Robertson on the power play with under five to go in the first, tied it at 1-1. In the second, Jonathan Marchessault gave Vegas the lead with about 10 minutes to go. The marksman put the Knights in front 2-1. Harrison Ford dies in one of those movies. Credit to the great John Williams for composing that score. But the Stars had a score of their own, and it was J-Rob with his second of the night. Jason Robertson's your player of the night.
Max Domi slips the pass. Left circle shot off the bar. Curling was Robertson. Then a shot from the right side. Hakanpää. Star still on the attack. Lindell drive. Rebound. Score! Robertson! His second of the game. It's another game-tying goal for Jason Robertson. This one late in period two. Ties it at two.
Josh Bogorad on Stars Radio, 2-2 after 2. The Double Deuce, Patrick Swayze, Roadhouse, 1989. Sam Elliott, crack me another banquet beer. No goals in the third, meaning overtime and do or die for Dallas. But they did, and they did it well. Joe Pavelski had your goal of the night.
Robertson on the right wing side got into the slot. Here's Hintz, drags it, saved by Hill. He's face down, the puck is loose. Up top, Haskinen, left side shot, score! Pavelski, a one-timer! Joe Pavelski keeps the Dallas season alive.
Pavelski drinking from the chalice like the end of the third Indiana Jones movie. second Harrison Ford reference. Pete DeBoer had your sound of the night.
Well, he's ageless, you know. He lives for those moments, and, you know, he wants to be in those situations, always has, and delivers, you know, almost every time.
Back to Sin City, where the Stars are hoping it's Win City. Game 5 is, you already know when it is. Saturday night, lanyards off, and that's your Thursday Canadian bacon.
All right. Greg Caserta hits us with a bacon, and now the new master of oinks, if you will, Billy Jocalone, comes squealing in from the newsroom. Billy, let's oink it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
5 oinks! Whoa. 2 5 oinkers for Greg Caserta!
Whoa!
Whoa! Whoa!
That was pretty freaking good.
Billy just jumps right. All right, it was pretty freaking good is the quote from the judge.
Wow.
Okay, so now this is going to be a controversy that sends shockwaves. It is her first 5 oinker in the AJ Amendo, Kerry Bellotti era of life. P-AJ, post-AJ, if you will. We had the B-AJ era. All right. Here's where the controversy is going to lie. Number
Can I just
one,
say real quick, Merez? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have given myself a 5. I thought Falcon my humble. First one was a legit 5.
Yes.
Well,
I would not have given myself a 5 on this one. So, Billy, I love you.
No, I would say this. I mean, I don't think it's – I think you were very funny. I think you, in your own little unique way, the quick quips, the second Harrison Ford reference, you drop in the Evil Empire thing, right? That is the Evil Empire song or
Correct.
Whatever.
Mm.
All right.
It's called the March of the Empire?
March of the Empire.
Yeah,
right.
Star Wars
okay.
sucks.
I am curious to know when he comes back if Pete the Body has a problem with Billy handing out 5 oinkers or Willie
He will.
Yeah. To which Billy will say, then do your job, pal. That's what Billy will say in response. So I don't have an issue with it. I think that Greg, who was a little scared to do another Canadian bacon, comes back with a second 5 oinker. I mean, look, this is going to hit Warwick, New York's newspapers tomorrow morning, and I'm sure DA will have to address it at some point.
CC Andrew Marchand.
If I had any knock on it, if it would keep me away from a 5 oinker, which personally, I probably would have given it a 4-5. I would have given it a 4-5.
That's what I thought I was getting, to be honest.
I think you took way too long at the beat. You had too many funny too much funny could be a bad thing. To finally get into the game, it was like a paragraph and a half before we got into the game. That would have been my only minor quibble. Minor quibble. Billy, you had no minor quibbles before we get to Bogus?
No, not really. I mean, I was going to give him a 4.75.
Mm.
But I guess I'm not a good grader at this then.
No, Billy, don't.
Stand up
no,
for yourself.
No,
it's
no,
okay,
no, no.
Billy. Don't back down.
Billy.
Well, no, I'm not.
Stand your grade, buddy. We have no problem with it.
Well, no, I'm not. It's not that I'm backing down. It's just that I haven't really had much experience with it yet.
Yes, I think that's the key here, is that Billy has not listened to every bacon, so maybe he's lost a little of the context of what's good and what's perfect.
There's 2 factoids, though, you need to know, Billy. Number one, there's a simple rule. If Pete could do it, anybody could do it, so you're totally fine. That's rule number one. Number two, you're literally hitting a button that plays the sound of a pig squealing. It is okay. Whatever grading system you want to go with is okay.
Says the guy that complains about every grading system that doesn't favor him.
Time out. I haven't done the last 2 days, but objectively grading, I have been in the ballpark the 2 straight days Billy has graded in that ballpark. So how am I going to crush him for that?
But you've already said just this morning that we are moving the goalposts again because we didn't penalize Caserta for asking for a one-hour delay.
We have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news.
Oh, boy.
Pete the Body has texted.
Oh.
No controversy. That was a 5. Sean, shut up. So Pete, grading from the hospital, has awarded Caserta 5 oinks, justifying the Billy grade. We have 2 judges now that have given Greg Caserta a second 5 oinker on the season. Wow. Bogus, do you have any comments before we get Pat Boyle in here, who looks to be seething standing back there on the PA show song?
I mean, how about the burgeoning rivalry? Caserta's only gotten 5 oinks. He's 2 for 2. Boyle remains the king of the oinks, but how safe is his throne? How loose is that crown on his head at the moment? I got to be honest, I did not think that was a 5 oinker. 4.75, if we had 1/10 of an oink,
but
maybe you could have gotten 4.8, 4.9, The other one was better, as Greg already said himself. This one just wasn't perfection for me.
We need to stop with that part of this, okay? And it is even coming from me. If something
Who's
is given
it coming a, from then?
No, no. Well, you got to remember, there is a cap on this. The cap is 5 oinks. So if something has already been given a 5 oinks and you say, wow, that was near perfection or perfection, I still like the other one better, that doesn't mean it also shouldn't get 5 oinks because this thing could have extended, right? Caserta's, if this was blown up, Caserta's first one could have been 7 oinks and this is still 5. If something's a 5, it's a 5, even if something is better, in my opinion. Because you mean to tell me now we've had, like, what, 5 different 5 oinkers, whether it's me, Boyle, Caserta? Yeah, one of them, I'm sure, is the best of the 5 oinkers, but they still could all be 5 oinkers in their own right. Get what I'm saying?
I do, and we've had the conversation on side B, C of the PGP, yeah. Like figuring out, do we need a new thing for Boyle? Like, does one Boyle mean 5 oinks? So, like, I understand the limitations of the scoring system, but I still, my point of referencing the first Caserta is there were a couple of, like, jaw-dropping moments in that one. This one lacked the one signature moment that usually gets you the 5.
The Pistons won an NBA Finals without a true signature star.
Yeah. So, again, and I'm getting – I give him a 4.8, a 4.9.
Yeah.
So, we're basically there, but I want to save the 5 oinkers for the truly special ones. And I thought that one was just a little bit south of that.
We have two judges that have both, you know, now a lot of history with Hit Me Oink Button tell you it's a 5. So, Billy, well done. Boyle, you have been crowned the king of the oinks. Now we have a guy who's 2 for 2 on 5 oinkers. You seem to be a little upset in the background there. Have you collected yourself here before greeting the media?
No, I thought Greg's bacon was great. I'm not a judger. I'm not a grader, so I'm not going to give a score. I will say this. You said we have two people that have a lot of history of giving out oinks. So this is Billy's, what, second time?
Well, that's history.
So you've got a rookie judge, and you got Bilotti in the hospital, dazed and confused, don't know what's going on, and probably just saying that it was a 5 to spite you. So I don't think Pete was really giving a good grade there.
I think Boyle.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that assessment is
spot
on.
Wow. Guys, if you heard that voice, you know it's Pat Boyle. If you heard what was coming out of his mouth, you would have thought it was me. That sounded very Mraz-like, a little infringing on your territory, making a lot of excuses to why the grader was wrong. I've been crushed and dragged for that. Interesting. So Boyle now really cares. Now, Boyle, I also want to remind you, you very well could have stepped up and said, no, I want the honor of grading the oinks. You gave it to Billy. Billy popped right out. Last thing he needed to do today after being ridiculed by Jack was come in and hit the oinks again. He did so, and he did it well. You need to relax a little bit. You could have done it, pal.
I'm not going to demand the spotlight to grade the oinks. Bogus is the one that said, let's have Billy do it. He's the one co-hosting today. He's in the power chair since you're at home sniffing boogers. And that was that.
Wow. Okay. Just a side note on this game real quick, too. NHL has to at least love this. No 2 sweeps. We get back now to Vegas for a game number 5. So we'll see. Maybe we get a little Celtics moment here from the Dallas Stars. By the way, the deep in the heart of Texas moment was great. I thought that was the signature moment, and he included the clap, I think, which was really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. A different kind of clap than Boyle is used to as well. Okay.
YouTube, by the way, the YouTube chat, very much in favor of the 5 oinks. So it's not just Billy, it's not just Pete. The YouTube watchers are also chiming in almost exclusively, not unanimously, giving a 5 oinks to Caserta.
Wow.
So,
do YouTubers even know what a 5 oinker is? Do all 8 accounts that Rob's made up even know that?
They have no idea what it is.
Exactly. YouTube chat is a sunken place. So really,
Oh, they're good people.
I
just
got
joke
you,
around.
YouTube.
I love you. Why are we just, by the way,
Twitch snobs?
The YouTube people are great people that tune into the show. We're knocking them. Why? Why?
Because this is a Twitch stream. It should always be a Twitch stream. That's where we should be driving the traffic. Now you've got a house divided, and one house obviously has no legitimate say in things.
No, first of all, DA did this by basically dismissing ever going on Twitch and now went on YouTube, so it caused the Twitch people to have a little pride. Midnight 51 says it's a 5 oinker. Glorious Splat called it a 4.75. Root Beer Float's a loser, and that's about it. That's all we got out of the Twitch stream right now.
So, there's people in the YouTube chat taking odds on a Boyle versus Caserta bacon cook-off.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's how fast things are moving in this chat.
But what about me, though? I'm the king of the oinks.
No, you're not. You're not included in this. You lost in the play-in tourney.
I know what the fans want. I would rather see a Mraz Boyle standoff.
We've done that.
We did.
Boyle wins.
We did, and I think everybody loved it but DA.
Oh, okay. That's always good. When the guy driving the ship goes, nah, we're not doing that.
Now, real quickly before we get to our update, Zach Gelb has also texted me. Zach Gelb, the host of the Zach Gelb Show, 6 to 10. He has alerted me that we should be banning Jack from Bob's Bar, and he has put down the declaration, I will not park his car, and if he shows up, I will boo him out.
Well, Jack's so elite. He's so elitist, he'll probably have an Uber driver take him.
He might make Cap drive him.
Can we do a poll? Who listens to this station more when they're not working, Bilotti or Gelb?
Oh, it's Bilotti.
It might be
Gelb. Are we sure?
Gelb's always listening.
Always.
Gelb texted me an hour and a half ago. Like, it's 7 a.m. He does a late show, doesn't he?
Well, it's either that or watch Hickey do peanut butter videos from the shower with his hair out.
And speaking of that, Zach did text me yesterday requesting a clarification. The Hickey in the shower video is not an official Zach Gelb show bit.
It's not a property.
The peanut butter thing was, but Gelb is not taking responsibility for Hickey in the shower.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Dastardly Bastard tweets in, I'm listening on delay. Why did that guy call this morning sounding like he was wearing the Laramie Tunsil gas mask? Poor backwards Brian is gonna have a problem. Steve in South Carolina, I think that is, tweets in, a new king of the oinks, Pat Boyle. We need a face-off, so people are clamoring for that a little bit here. And B. Morale tweets in, I've been living in Baltimore for 13 years. Definite 2014 O's vibes. Adam Jones, Markakis, et cetera. Feels a little different around town this time. By the way, keep your tweets coming in for the Target demo portion of our program. That'll come your way in about an hour. So there you have it. Greg Caserta, another five oinker. By the way, we did not deduct a half an oink from pushing it back an hour. More controversy on that at some point whenever DA and Pete stop having babies and we all rejoin as a show. Thanks to Billy Jockalone for grading that. Thanks to Pat Boyle on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Greg Caserta on your updates.
Are we done?
Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and thanks to all of you for continuing to listen for the next hour and 20 minutes. Greg, what do you got on your update?
I was waiting for the mothership disconnects, but all right, well, I guess we'll get to an update. And I don't like that people are trying to divide Boyle and I because we're hard hat guys, and we have a relationship that started before this place.
Oh, yeah.
Pat and I were friends before he started working here shortly after I did, because Pat and I are broadcast partners for LIU basketball, the finest program in the Northeast.
Weren't they the worst team in the country this year?
They did. They won two games. Both were three games. One was a Division I opponent. The
Central
other two,
Connecticut State,
Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart, yeah.
So they went 3-28, and two of those were Division III wins, but they're a fine program.
Wow. So they were the worst team in basketball. Then they shot through the Sacred Heart, but they were too late. They gave basketball a bad name.
It's not funny.
It hurts. Like,
just sit one out.
It shoots up your back, and it just, like, locks up on you, you know?
And you create a scenario where we're just, it's impossible to actually appreciate them, because they're all of the time.
Yeah.
And they're so overwhelming. They that one might have been funny if you hadn't done 18 stinkers before it.
So I'm going to officially retire from making jokes. You don't get any more funny me the rest of the time I'm on the show.
Yeah, honestly, I think a lot of us are applauding.
Mm.
Does he do that when DA's here, or is it just when it's you guys hosting?
Oh, it's worse now, but it's still there when DA's here.
Yeah, the first time I experienced it, I was like, all right, that was okay. And as time goes on, you think you get acclimated to it, and it somehow hurts more every
Agreed.
Time.
All right, go put your lanyard on, you bum.
I took it off because, listen, last time you got roasted for criticizing my appearance, people were calling you a bully online. Are you going to bully me again, Sean? Is that what we're doing?
No, that's for Rupia Float to do. Okay, go on.
All right, so last night you had Game 5 up in Boston between the Celtics and the Heat, and it was pretty much Boston the whole way, led by 15 after the first, and the starting lineup just poured it on. I mentioned before, four Celtics top 20 points. And Derek White was the biggest contributor with a game-high 24.
Derek White, cross court, Tatum, up fakes the three on Highsmith. Left-hand dribble, spins, draws the double, kick out, White, up fake, steps to his left, three in the air, and Derek White's brilliant game five comes to a perfect conclusion as he buries a three that will settle the issue.
Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio, 16 triples for the Celtics. They shot 41% from deep, a shade over 50% for the game, and White 6 of 8 from 3 to finish with 24. The Heat with only 9 three-pointers last night, most of those coming from the bench. Only Kyle Lowry and this other guy, Struss, who is this? Max Struss, see, exactly. Hit a three.
Thanks, Jack.
So, wow, that was a Jack moment.
And
by the way, if you have to point to two people that work here, it's a Jack moment, it's a Schwartz one, it's probably an issue for the company.
Bam Adebayo got a lot of attention last night, 16 points and 8 rebounds, but also gave it away 6 times, accounting for a good chunk of the 16 Heat turnovers. They shot over 51%, but the disparity in three-pointers and free throws, for that matter, they had 9 less free throw attempts than the Celtics. So Boston now with back-to-back wins, they lead that series 3-2. NFL, I'm not going to play any more Devontae Adams sound, but I do want to hear from...
This would have been the hour to do it.
I do want to hear from Russell Wilson because...
No, we haven't done that yet.
Haven't done that?
No.
How about Sean Payton? Have you done that?
Oh, my God. If you just played Russell Wilson, Greg, I was going to cancel your last update.
Can I play Sean Payton sound then?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Here's Sean Payton talking about his first impression of coaching Russ.
These guys are doing well. He's picking it up. You know, the timing and all of those things that required, you know, for the first 5 weeks, we were just lifting and running. And so now we're getting into some football activity. And, you know, these guys, you know, we're ahead of schedule on the practice. But yeah, he's picking it up good. Looks good. Looks sharp.
That partnership is not going to work. Betting money on it.
I agree.
The Raiders' new quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo reportedly had foot surgery after signing with Las Vegas back in March. His physical held up the deal for one day. The article I read referenced...
Hey, Greg. Yo. And I was like, Garoppolo!
There we go. Three-day-old bitch, Sean.
Yeah.
Is that from Night at the Roxbury?
Yes.
Wow. Cool.
Yes.
Nice.
That's funny.
So the article I read referenced Jimmy G as a 2-time Super Bowl champion, of course, when he was backing up Tom Brady. He fractured his foot in December during a win over the Dolphins, and at the time, Niners team doctors said that he would not need surgery and just 2 months of recovery. Raiders doctors reportedly believed otherwise, recommended the surgery, and he had it after he was introduced as a Raider. Asked to comment, Mark Davis said, "It's all good, man. We have a great team, and I have a great haircut." I talked about this last week. 2 years after he was last seen in the NFL, Antonio Brown is teasing his debut for the Albany Empire. That's the Arena League team that he recently purchased. That's coming up tomorrow on, again, Saturday. But that's not
and
all.
I was
the
like,
Steelers
Antonio!
Star. What?
And I was like, Antonio!
The longtime Steelers star is also fielding a quote, genuine interest from NFL teams about a comeback next year. That's what his agent says anyway. He is, quote, exploring the right fit. And Jameson Williams was the most well-known player of the five, suspended for gambling last month. He finally addressed the 6-game suspension, saying, quote, "I wasn't aware of the situation, but as it happened, I took it on the chin. I was ready to move forward. That's been my whole plan." He reportedly bet on college football games while at the team facility. Now, that is explicitly forbidden by the league's gambling rules. He didn't give much detail on the exact nature of the offense when he spoke yesterday, saying that he wasn't sure where in the facility that he was when he made those bets.
Can you imagine if we weren't allowed to bet on games while we were in the station?
There'd be no gambling in New York.
I mean, most of the gambling pays our salaries. The only thing I will say, I don't think I love the idea of NFL players betting college football either. I'd rather just see him bet NBA baseball, only from the standpoint of, you know, these guys have relationships. Like, Jameson Williams could easily know, like, the strength and conditioning coach still at Alabama lets him know, like, this guy's not going to play this game. And he could have intel like that that others wouldn't have to make a bet. So, look, these guys are humans. They should be allowed to gamble. But I think for the portion of your career, we talk about how short-lived they are anyway. Just don't bet on football. And that's it. And the same goes, basketball players, don't bet on basketball, but bet on everything else. And I think that's fine.
Hockey players, don't bet on KHL.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
No. Thanks for that awkward transition. Okay. When we come back.
I'm going to use that trick moving forward. I like that. Just like
what?
Just the complete awkward hand back.
Yeah, jeez.
Like, of course I'm done. Why are you even asking?
If Greg's Canadian Bacon was a 5-oinker, Jocko, won't you give him a 0.5-oink for every update today? And if he, I'm telling you right now, if Russell Wilson was clicked out of that mouse, that would have been the end of him, pal. All right. By the way, you got one more update left, Greg. A little heart and hustle out of the Saturday night bit, please. Please do us that favor.
He's already left to not listen to the show so we can copy sound next hour.
Yeah, or baby, by the way, can somebody go out there and show Max Drew's highlights so he can get his name down too, please? Because we'd kill Jack for that. All right, we come back. Can the NBA properly assess a flop? It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Bogues. Summer Friday here. Memorial Day weekend is upon us. Caserta's got a 5-oinker. Go back and listen to that on the Odyssey Rewind. And, of course, that app. Carlo with a K tweets, and please, I'm with Zach Gelb and ask you, keep Jack away from the Bob's Bar Show. Can't stand him, and is disrespect of all of you. That's funny, because I'm pretty sure Carlo with a K is not coming, but yet she's with us on banning people, which is pretty hysterical to me, I think. But good for you. Regina Phillips also tweets in, what's up from Regina Phillips? What's up from Regina Phillips in Detroit? New to your show, and I love it. With a kissy face. So welcome aboard, Regina. She's going to be stunned when DA comes back in 2 weeks. If she's new to the show, she thinks this is it. But we're gaining listeners. How about that?
And in new places, too. Very rarely do we hear from Detroit, but welcome aboard. And, yeah, I mean, enjoy it now. And it's only going to get better when DA and Pete are back.
Yeah, no doubt, we think. Yeah, no doubt about it. Real quickly, Adam Silver has mentioned the NBA might be looking to assess true technical fouls in games for those accused of flopping to try to diminish the amount of flopping we see in the NBA. I love this idea. You ever see Role Models? I don't want to make a movie reference you don't know.
I've seen Role Models.
Okay, so there's a line I love in Role Models, maybe not as a famous line to kind of talk about. Do you like Coke? Talking about Coca-Cola. I like the idea of Coke more than I actually like it. What's his face? The guy...
Paul Rudd, who smashed...
No, it's the guy who plays McLovin in Superbad says it.
Fogle?
Yeah, whatever his name is in real life, Christopher
Mintz. He's a three-namer.
Yeah, Chris Mintz Plas or Plas whatever. Mintz, something like that.
That guy. Mm-hmm. He says, I like the idea of Coke more than I actually like it. I like the idea of this rule more than I actually like it. Because let's be honest, we know what obvious flops should look like, but you are probably going to assess a technical foul to something that can be really hard to determine. Because the guy still gets hit. You know, if you get hit awkwardly, you're going to judge basically being a baby. That's essentially what the league is saying.
Yeah, and the NHL can't do it. The NHL has a penalty for this, and they almost always get that one wrong, too.
Right.
So this is not going to go well.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So interesting, the NBA tinkering with rules. That being said, I much rather prefer this than an in-season tournament. All right, when we come back, Bogues, the pressure on the Miami Heat, the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.